Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Home hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 51, postgame. I mean, it really, I think that the game at Fenway Park in the wildcard game shows that it is the greatest rivalry in sports.
Yeah, it is. I mean, come on, what else are you going to ask for unless you're a Yankees fan? It was an interesting baseball game for sure. And I would have to say that the Red Sox fans showed up. They showed up. I didn't hear as much Yankee fans there.
No, and there were a lot of them, though. There were a lot. But it was, the vibe was, I mean, I have to tell a quick
story. Now, granted, they didn't have any much to cheer for,
right,
the Yankee fans. But still, you'd think there would be a little bit more
back and forth.
Yep.
You know, so I had two tickets to this, and I thought because of our busy schedule, my wife and I couldn't go, so we offered it up to someone in our season ticket group, and then my wife said she wanted to go, and it was too late. So I kind of had this sort of sad, like every time they said this is the best crowd they've had in years, and
right,
better than 2018, I just sort of shrunk more into my couch in shame. So,
well, it is our World Series, right? I mean, that's what it came down to.
Yeah, and I didn't go, and I wish I were there. But, you know, listen, let's talk about the game, because I really don't watch the games with the close reading that you do, and same with Matt Sorois, who helps produce this show. But last night, I was watching everything and every pitch, and we can just tick down the impressions.
Well, I feel like last night we got a little bit of everything we've been talking about the whole season when it comes to the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Major League Baseball in general, from check swings to players stepping up to pitchers crapping the bed, you know, to the team not performing the way it should, to the, you know, J.D. Martinez not showing up on the team. Like, it's just Kyle Schwarber getting the home run.
Sure.
Like, it's Anthony Rizzo. It just all came down to this game. It's crazy.
So let's talk about the pitchers really quick. Because, you know, my sense, first of all, I think that Nathan Eovaldi is a great pitcher. I think that win-loss does not reflect his season, because there are so many no decisions he had where he pitched great, and he just was so gutsy, and I feel like he
dug. You could sure hear that he was gutsy.
Huh?
You could hear that he was gutsy.
Oh, yeah, he was making a lot of noise. And, you know, but I know that, you know, everyone's knocking Cole. I mean, he got a quick hook. He didn't have his stuff, but, you know, you think he's hurt.
I think maybe
he could be used up, but the thing is, he was still clocking 99, so how is that possible?
Well, I mean, I think it's possible because when it comes down to the speed, it's not so much the speed, it's the location. And if you're not 100%, you're not going to be able to locate. And
do you think he's hurt?
Absolutely.
And we'll find out tomorrow
the
next day.
So the last good start Gerrit Cole had for the Yankees, the last legit start he had was the 15K start against the Angels on Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
His next start was a start he left after 3 2/3 with the hamstring. And since then, he's literally been crap, dude. 22 2/3 innings, 33 hits, 18 runs. Now 28 Ks because he's Gerrit Cole and he throws hard, right? But still not the same pitcher. Walks are up, and he never walked people.
So you think the hammy is a problem?
Absolutely. And okay. Buck Showalter even said it last night after. And I've been saying this for weeks about Cole, right?
Yeah, I know. You said it on this program.
And, you know, they were all, the whole MLB Tonight crew was going on and on and on about, you know, he's crapping the bed. And Buck Showalter came out and said, you know, I think he's still hurt. Something's going on. Because a pitcher like that just does not.
Then don't pitch him.
Right, and that's what I say. Well, Derek Jeter said the same thing. That's what he's always said. If you're going to be on the field, you have to show up and perform,
yeah.
Period. Right? That's how it works.
This is where maybe Boone, this is his fatal flaw.
This is not Boone's only fatal flaw.
Well, I know, but like
but
whether
it
it's whether it's Cashman or not, whoever it is that I think Boone, if a player comes to Boone and says, I got it, Skip, I can do it, he'll, because he's a former player, he'll respect it and let him go. So
right.
When Gerrit Cole says, I want the ball, He's going to give him the ball. Where somebody, if they weren't so cozy, might say, you're hurt. Sit down.
Right.
We'll need you for if you get 5 days of rest now, you might even be healthy for the ALDS.
Right.
And maybe that was the right call.
The problem is it all comes down to economics, dude. Everyone, he's your $342 million man. He's your player. He's
but your season's
pitcher.
Over, though.
Right. So. Exactly. But no matter what, like if he says he's healthy, right? Like you said, if Garrett Cole says, I'm ready to go, Boone's going to pitch him, right? Now, Boone has all that weighing on his shoulders. He's got all that Yankees organization, all that crap. Is he going to pull the trigger on that and be like, no, you're not pitching?
Maybe he should have.
Right. Absolutely. Maybe he should have. I mean, but if Cole goes out there and throws a 10K and they don't screw up late in the game and they give, you know, maybe it's a whole different game, obviously. But still, I believe he was still hurt because he did not pitch since Labor Day, Garrett Cole numbers for sure.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, episode 51, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Doing a little postscript on the Yankees Red Sox wild card game. The other thing I want to talk about, you know, the Yankees in general. Before we get to Phil Nevin and the
Can I
decision,
say one more thing about Cole. The pitch that Schwarber hit off of Cole was out of the strike zone. It was high. Now you got to give Schwarber credit there. That is not an easy pitch. It was like 99 high.
Sure, I mean, I'm happy to give him credit. I don't think Cole pitched that badly.
No, so but it's not like, you know, you can't just say that the Yankees crapped out. You know,
you're the one who's saying.
Well, everybody's going to say that, right? Because that's what it looks like on paper. But the Red Sox still had to win that game, right?
Listen, there's
seven hits to six hits, and the hits that the Red Sox got were crucial.
Right.
Crucial hits.
I want to get to, before we get to the decision by Phil Nevin, which, you know, whether you criticize or not, really decided the game. But Giancarlo Stanton, my favorite thing I read on Twitter all night, and Twitter was great last night, was it said if Giancarlo Stanton played for the Red Sox, he'd bat 389. One of the Red Sox beat writers said he'd bat 389 with two home runs and 100 wall ball singles. Because he hits the ball
so hard,
and his launch angle
is still going up.
It's line drives. Yep. And so,
but the first ball was high. Really, it was high in the air when it went off the wall. The second one was more of a line drive.
Right, but
everybody thought it was out.
Right. Well, you had Vasgersian, and
you should have heard Sterling on the radio.
It was terrible.
Oh,
it was
my God, dude.
I wanted to play it on our morning show, but I didn't because I think it makes him sound so
bad. I almost jerked the car off the road. I was so excited.
Right, but it was wrong.
Oh, my God, it was so bad.
But my point is,
halfway up the wall, Brian.
It would have been a home run in half the parks in baseball.
They said 19, yeah. Yep,
and so, and then the other one he hit probably would have been a home run too. So he could have had three home runs in the game. I will tell you, when that guy is good, when that guy is on,
there ain't many people better.
I don't really know anyone who can hit the ball harder than that dude.
No.
He hits
ground balls at 115 miles an hour.
Well, I was at the game where he hit that grand slam to beat the Sox a couple weeks ago, and I've never seen anything travel that fast. And so I just want to say, it just out of the context of things, he's an incredibly impressive hitter.
Yeah, and you don't win MVPs and not be good in Major League Baseball. I'm sorry.
But let's get to the most important thing, which is this decision to send Aaron Judge home on the wall ball from Giancarlo Stanton. And I just want to correct it. I don't think it would have been second and third.
Right,
it would have been first and third with one out, but it's still, you would have been pretty much guaranteed a run. I mean, you just needed a fly ball. I will take the counter argument, John. If Bogaerts doesn't make a perfect transfer, he's probably safe.
I mean, the ball could have bounced.
Kike's got a weak arm.
Yeah.
It was a bouncer to come into
him.
He
was basically throwing the ball to second. And Bogaerts is where he's supposed to be, catches a bouncer to him, and he makes a great throw, right? That's what he's supposed to do.
He's a pro.
That every shortstop should make that throw.
But not everyone does.
Right.
And he got it out of his glove
fast. But
really
you do
fast.
Not send him in any circumstance of any
situation. Just because
situation.
There's only one out, that's the only
Absolutely.
Reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The situation in the game with one out. Now listen, I see there's two big problems here. There's A, there's Phil Nevin, and there's B, the fact that you got Joey Gallo batting behind Giancarlo Stanton.
I know, but you got to forget about that for a minute.
But if you're thinking about that in the back of your head, he's thinking, I need to score this run, because the chances of Joey Gallo doing anything is like 15%.
Yeah, see, I don't think that factors into the decision.
I don't know. We'd have to talk to Bobby Dickerson about that because he'd be the expert on that. Yeah. And he's told me you live or die by that. The third baseman, literally, third base coach is the live or die guy.
I totally agree, but I don't think Phil Nevin was thinking that Joey Gallo sucks.
You can't send him there.
I don't think you send him, but no. I don't think the reason why he felt desperate was because of Joey Gallo.
No, but that's a whole other issue. Joey Gallo batting behind Giancarlo Stanton, because if you get later in the game, or any point, I wouldn't have pitched to Giancarlo Stanton with him behind him.
Why?
I would have bucked Showalter him and walked him if I had to.
Totally.
With the bases loaded.
100%.
To pitch to Joey Gallo.
100%.
So that's a whole other issue.
So let's macro it. I mean, the bottom line is that this rivalry, it was 10-9 this season going into the game, 11-9 going out. The Yankees swept the Red Sox and
crazy.
Embarrassed them just a week and a half ago.
Which is
ago.
Crazy that it was that close, the season rivalry, when it seems like the Red Sox just steamrolled the Yankees all season until the last series.
So, I mean, listen, the point is that it was really exciting. It was fun to watch. It was hard for Yankee fans. I mean, I think when it went 3-0, both you and Matt Serois texted me and said it's basically over. But I want to get to the bigger picture.
There wasn't much life, you know?
No, there wasn't.
And the Yankees 4-9 hitters were 1-20, one for 20.
Yeah, and the Red Sox weren't very good at the bottom of the order either. But let's talk about
swinging
Phil Nevin.
First pitches.
No. I think the baseball side, that's kind of done. Like, if you want to talk about any more of the nuts and bolts of the game.
Let's talk about Phil Nevin.
Yeah, I think we have to talk about Phil Nevin and Aaron Boone.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, from where you sit, because if Boone's gone, then Nevin's gone. I don't know if Boone stays, I don't know that he fires Phil Nevin. But do you think Boone should be gone?
I would say given...
Don't equivocate politically.
Given
you're
everything
paid
this season,
you paid big money in this podcast to take a stand.
Yes. He should be gone.
Even though he's a beloved, sort of almost like an icon for that one home run in 2003.
How many... Dude, they got rid of Yogi a couple times.
Sure. But that was George.
Who was more beloved than that? Well, maybe that's what this organization needs again, another kick in the ass. Everyone keeps saying that it's Steinbrenner organization, but is it really a Steinbrenner organization? Maybe that's what they need to go back to, where it's a little bit of shaky knees every once in a while.
Yeah, a little fear. Well, the funny thing is, like, they have this incredible, like, 20-plus year streak of being above 500, right? But they've been 12 years without a World Series appearance. And so the franchise is tremendously successful when you look at it in the macro.
Right.
But when you go to the expectations of 27 championships and this and that, it's not doing well.
No.
Right? So I think that you probably have to let Boone go, but I don't know why Cashman gets such a free pass.
No.
I don't think he's going to get fired either, but like why doesn't he get more criticism?
Well, I think, the deal with Rizzo will help him a little bit. Gallo's a question mark. I mean, you can say all you want about his defense, but yes, he does get more of a free pass because I think he's been a Yankee so long. I'll say it, right? He's been the little kid that started as an intern and worked his way up, and I got a little soft spot for you, that kind
but
of thing.
He put this team together, and
again,
there's no doubt this team was flawed.
That being said, he's been with the organization like 30 something years, dude. Right, like. Most people that have been with someone for 30-something years, unless you're a plumber working for yourself, are out the door.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm guessing maybe there is some time for change, right? I would say so. Like what
for
hurt Cashman, could it
you're
do?
Saying
what hurt could it do? Right? You mean to tell me that there's not another baseball mind out there that can't pull a trade off for Anthony Rizzo? I mean, there's good baseball minds everywhere, right? But then maybe they're overthinking a little bit because you got these Matt Blake who came out of wherever, Princeton or wherever he came out of, who... never has pitched a game of baseball in his life. Is your pitching coach, and they were starting to think on the whole analytics thing. Well, maybe the whole thing needs to be relooked at. They do have a good developing organization. The Yankees do, right? Not as good as Tampa, who swept through the minors with every level or were in the championship at every level. But still, they're not like a crap organization. So you don't have to really worry about that. You maybe have to worry about fixing what's at the major league level, which everybody is looking at.
Well, I think what's going to happen, you brought up so many good things, but while this is in the top of my mind, I want to point it out, is that I think what we're looking at now is that the sabermetric sort of analytics side of it does have a bit of a blind spot, and that has to do with like team chemistry and other elements. And I think that with the teams like the Yankees are sort of falling into that trap, which is when you put a team together that looks really good on paper, it doesn't always translate into the right product on the field, and that's intangibles. And I do think that analytics are important, but I do think intangibles matter because, listen, I don't think the Red Sox are a very good team.
No.
I actually don't think they are, but they are They have fun.
Listen.
And I've said this before, and they enjoy themselves, and I think that that helps them. And I think the Yankees, just very few of them look happy ever.
Right. Well, maybe too stoic, too rigid, too, you know, clean cut. But I'm going to say something about the Red Sox, right? So when the whole season started and they were pushing each other down in the shopping cart and everything, right?
Right.
Okay, so who else was doing anything like that? Everyone followed suit. Toronto with the jacket, yeah, and right.
Everyone was doing the little
hat,
wave.
Yeah, the hat in Philly, yeah. And you know. So listen, there is something to be said about that, right? Now, does that win you a World Series? Yes, sometimes, but no, most of the time you need a 1-2-3 punch as a pitcher, sure. Right? But again, Washington Nationals, you know, those guys, you never know, dude. It's baseball.
Yep. And right? It makes them fun to watch, makes the fans happy, and the players seem to be happy. But I want to get back to this because this is sort of maybe the most important part of our conversation. You would advocate a house cleaning.
I mean, when you say house cleaning,
yeah,
you
house
have
cleaning.
To be, because if the general manager
general
gone,
manager,
who
manager.
Else is gonna be,
general right? manager, manager, you think
that's house cleaning, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody else they've put there, right? Everybody would be out.
So that's what you want.
Well, you and look at it like, so knee jerk reaction. Old George would hack,
do what you want.
Would hack. Would do what you haven't seen Yankee fans see in years, right? And everybody's going to say that because it's New York and it's cutthroat. Now, I would think if anybody, like you said, will survive, it would be Cashman, right? Because you let the guy in the field go. And Nevin's really going to be the patsy in the whole thing, right? And if Nevin falls, then you take Boone with him because he put him there. They'll say he put him there, right?
The reason why Cashman stays is that ownership doesn't want to do any work, and he basically is the de facto owner of the
Unless
team.
They got somebody else they're looking at. I
I'm
mean,
just
I
saying,
haven't
like,
heard
he
nothing.
He makes it so the owners
right.
don't have to deal with
exactly.
stuff. And I think that's why he stays. But I sort of love the concept of cleaning house. And it is totally knee-jerk. It's totally George Steinbrenner. I've one quick question, then I have a Red Sox question for you. The quick question is, do you think that if Boone is gone, it'll be David Cone?
I mean, that's the name everyone said so far that I've been hearing. I mean, you know the name I'd love to hear, but I mean...
Yeah, you said it the other day.
Yeah.
What was it?
No, I'd love that. I'd love to see Bobby get the job, but I
oh,
never
Bobby Dickerson.
Yeah,
someone brought up, was it not?
Buck Showalter has been in the conversation.
Oh, he's been, but there was another guy, Ozzie Guillen, somebody brought up. I think it was Matt Sorley brought that up.
Man, I tell you, like, if Joe Girardi's not going to survive there.
You don't want to go back to that. I think you need to go forward.
I don't think Ozzie Guillen.
The only way to go back, I think, would be Buck. I think Buck would be good because look what La Russa is doing and Dusty Baker. I mean, the old guy manager works with the right team. I mean, if he had more talent in Baltimore, he might still be there. So
yeah, the question is, will Buck want to do it? He's got a nice cushy gig. He looks very comfortable
right.
sitting on those stools.
Before we
but
say
Buck goes there, it'd be nice. Maybe Bobby would go.
I mean, Bobby might be looking for a job, so we'll see about that. Bobby Dickerson, of course,
still
friend of the show.
Still haven't officially fired Jay Stengler.
Yeah, but he can't stay. I mean, there's no
there's
way.
There's smoke, there's fire.
There's no way that
there.
Guy keeps his job.
No.
So, John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, episode 51 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Really quick, Red Sox, Rays, handicap it.
I mean, dude, the Red Sox are rolling right now. Where they win? Like, there's 10th in a row or something like that? Or 9th
no,
in a row?
They lost 2 or 3 to the Baltimore Orioles, so it would be...
All right,
be...
so they're 5th in a row, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're not going to beat the Rays, dude. The Rays are too good. I mean, the Rays have beat everybody. The only people the Rays haven't beat is the Dodgers and the Giants. I mean, when you think about it.
You think, okay, that's depressing. I'm trying to figure out whether I should go that Sunday will be game 3.
I mean, is it
going to
be a 4-4? Wait, they go 3 out of 5,
three
right?
3 out of 5, yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. That's tough. You don't get that extra game. I don't see it.
Well, they have to win 1 or 2 in Tampa. If they don't win 1 or 2 in Tampa, if they go down 2-0, they can't win 3 in a row.
How many fans are going to be in Tampa for that game?
Well, that's what I really want to... I'm really fascinated about.
How many places that park holds?
I think it holds a ton, like 42, according to Matt Sorois. He just gave me the hand signal. And
42,000 people. You think right. there'll be 38,000 Red Sox fans
I just
there.
Wonder how many, and I wonder if it makes a difference. I really, that might be the most intriguing thing for me in the entire series is how many Reds, because if the Red Sox fans could rally, I'm surprised that some Goomba doesn't come on and make it a thing online, see if you can make it a home game. You know, I mean, I just think that would be fascinating because it's not Red Sox Yankees. There's easily a way to drown out Rays fans.
Oh my God!
Easily,
yeah. You can drown them out with a couple.
All right, so
you're
saying
electric fans?
Rays in 4? Rays sweep it?
No, it's not in 4. Yeah. No, I think it will go to the 5th. I really do. The Red Sox are just they got too many good hitters, dude.
I love the fact that Bogaerts heated up because he was a disaster the last
month. And Verdugo did good last night too. And Verdugo, yeah. He's been up and down, but I mean,
well, he's not great in the field.
What's
either.
The deal with JD? What do you think?
I'm just so embarrassed for him. I just think it's such a joke that you can't even run out of
the team's
to a
still
position.
Playing though.
I think he misses game one.
Tape that up, man. Tape it up.
And he misses game one. He comes back in game two. But I don't even care. I mean, I've never been a huge. I respect him a ton, but I've never been a huge fan because I don't find him that likable. But obviously, I don't think he'll play game one. And I think because they want him in the lineup, they want him to be 100% healthy. And I guess it's ballooned up.
What's your take on the check swings last night? Awful.
The calls? Or the,
yeah, the calls and the check swings.
I don't know. It's such a subjective thing.
One to Gallo was terrible.
But
there
if you turn your wrist over, it's a strike.
I'll say it again. There's got to be a way they can technology that, man.
You'd like sort of a
there's got to be a laser beam or something they can put on there.
That's one of the few things that I would actually accept it because it's such, how do you look at that in real time and make the right
especially
decision?
Especially from that angle.
It just doesn't make sense.
If anything, put some guy in the dugout on each side, some ump.
Well, I just don't like replay. Like, I think replay sucks. I don't like it.
That'd be quick, though. That'd
but
be
I think
so
that
quick.
That particular thing is so ridiculous in terms of, it's not even the umpire's fault.
It can change
fault.
Games big time. It can change a game. I think a lot of times they're just like, oh yeah, strike.
Yeah.
It's like they kind of like.
I thought the first one, the umpire was caught up in the momentum of the moment.
Right.
And the fans were going nuts and he just was like Enrico Palazzo. Yeah. You know what I mean? He just was like, oh my God, you're out. But anyway, we'll talk. Listen, this is a bonus episode. Well, basically, I think what we'll convene next for episode 52 will be after the end of the ALDS.
See how it goes.
We'll see how that goes. So that might be early next week. It will not be, hopefully it won't be Monday because that would be game four would be Monday in Boston, which would be cool.
So maybe a week from today.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But today being Wednesday. And we'll see you next time here on Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You can always check us on Twitter, YouTube, as well as Facebook. We'll see you next week.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.